Thank you, Brian. Let me invite you again to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. I mentioned at the beginning the primary indicator, according to Dr. James Dobson, for selecting a mate. And he says that the most important thing for a young man or a young lady to look for is finding someone who treats their parents respectfully. He says that if you don't find someone who is respectful of their parents, that they probably will not ultimately be respectful of you. So let's challenge the younger generation as they look for a good Christian mate to find someone who treats their parents respectfully. That's what this commandment is all about. There's a transition that takes place here in our study. The first three commandments deal directly with our response to God. It's a vertical relationship. The fourth commandment deals indirectly with God, the day he was to be honored among the Jews. And now, in Commandments 5 through 10, we will see the impact that our relationships are to have with our fellow man. And it begins with that closest of all, that family circle. The first of these horizontal relationships is that of a child toward a parent. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, this commandment is echoed and expanded by the Apostle Paul in two of his letters. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, he writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," he quotes from the first commandment, and then says, "For this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." And then again, he refers to this commandment in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, and he says it again, "Obey your parents," and then says, "because it pleases the Lord." Honor your father and your mother. Well, what does that mean? How do we honor our parents? The word honor means to hold in high esteem, or to elevate in importance, or to show reverence toward. Honor is simply the mature end of that commandment to obey. It begins with obedience, and it ends in honoring. Obedience is the early, immature response toward a parent, and that culminates as the child grows into adulthood in a relationship towards the parent that is one of honoring. Now, let me list just a few quick reasons why we should honor our parents, in case you don't already have any reasons to honor your parents. Number one, they gave you life. You wouldn't be here were it not for them. They cared for you in those early years when you could not care for yourself. They taught you many of the things that you know, many of the lessons that you've learned, many of the good qualities that you have. You acquired from your parents. They spent a lot of money on you, especially if they sent you to college. They are among that very small number of people in the entire world who would give their very lives for you. How many people could you number throughout your entire life who, without a doubt, would lay down their life for you? I expect your parents are among that very small number of people. You need to honor your parents because they need your love and your respect. They need that. And then lastly, it is simply the right thing to do. There are some things in life that are just right to do, and this is one of them. Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It's the right thing for us to do. Now, Before we look more at what honoring parents involves, let me tell you what it does not involve. Honoring parents does not mean lifelong obedience to everything your parents ask of you or require of you. Doesn't mean that. As an adult, you make your own decisions. There is a time when you leave the nest and you've got to make some decisions, and some of those decisions, somewhere along the line, are bound to run contrary to the wishes of your parents. You can't always live next door to your mom and dad, as much as they might like that. You may not always be able to live in the same town with your parents. You've got to make your own life, your own decisions. You've got to go your own direction. You may not hold the same political opinions as your parents. You are not bound to obey everything that they wish that you would do for the rest of your life. As a child, you are not obligated to have your parents' approval in every area of your life. You will make your own decisions, and no doubt they may not always agree with the things that you decide. And yet you can still make good decisions and right decisions that they may not approve of. The obligation is that we are to treat them with respect. Now, let's look at what honoring parents does place on children by way of obligation. And the first area I want us to consider is our attitude toward our parents. The attitude throughout Scripture is always to be one of respect. You always, always treat your parents with respect. That involves speaking kindly to your parents. It involves speaking kindly about your parents. Let me just say to the young people in the crowd here today, it is wrong for you to raise your voice to your parents. That's disrespectful. It is wrong for you to run your parents down in front of your friends, to speak ill of your parents. That's disrespectful. And then to those of us who are in what is called a sandwich generation. We've got children of our own, and we've got parents, and we're in the middle of those two generations. Let me just say this to that generation. The way you treat your parents is the way your children will treat you. Mark it down. Don't be surprised later in life if you're disrespectful towards your parents, if you complain about them in the presence of your children, if you say negative things about them. Don't be surprised when your children treat you the very same way. If you speak disrespectfully about your parents, you will receive the same disrespect that you're giving. You see, if your children see you treating your parents lovingly, and if you are patient with them when it's difficult to be patient with them, and if you model respect for them at all times, through the easy times and through the hard times, then that is what your children will learn, and that is what your children will give to you. Well, in the area of action, what does God expect us to do for our parents? I mean, we've got to have the right attitude. That's respect. What about the action step? Well, Scripture lays upon children the responsibility to care for their parents as they age. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul writes to Timothy, and he talks about the widows in the church. And he says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. It's interesting that there is an obligation, and we understand children are responsible, but Paul says grandchildren are too. Children and grandchildren both need to care for those family members that are growing older. When parents grow old, children and grandchildren are responsible. And one of the fiercest denunciations that Jesus ever made to any group of religious people found anywhere in Scripture was that statement that he made in Matthew chapter 15. And he was speaking to a group of people who had shirked their responsibility to their aging parents. And this is what he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain." He says, "Their teachings are but rules made by men." Now, we quote that passage, and we're familiar with that passage, but we don't often think who it was that Jesus was speaking to. He was speaking to a group of people who wouldn't financially care for their parents. Well, there's a third area. Now, we're to attitudinally show respect. We are to, in action, care for them. That means financially, too. We are also to live a life that will honor them by what we do and how we live, our character. Now, I try, and I can honestly say I've always tried to live a life that would honor my parents. If you go back to Snyder, Texas, and ask anyone there, "Do you know any of the Brights?" Well, they haven't lived there in a long time, but the old-timers that are still around would speak well of that name. And they'd say, "Oh yeah, I remember Wilson Bright. He was a good man." I want to live my life in such a way that that name remains untarnished. Many of you have been given wonderful names. You can go back to your communities of origin and ask anyone where you grew up, and anyone who still remembers your parents will speak well of them. And we have a responsibility to carry on that good name in our own lives. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24, we're told, "The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." We are obligated as Christians to live lives that honor our parents in our conduct. Now, I know someone's going to say, "But Joe, you don't know my parents. They were not good parents. My mother is crazy. She drives us all nuts." Now, I know that. I know that some of you had parents that were not the kind of parents that you could have wished for. But let me just say this. None of us had perfect parents. None of us are perfect parents. All of our parents had feet of clay. They all had flaws. They all had things they could have done better. They all had things they could have done differently. But where they were deficient, we owe them our forgiveness and our love. That's our responsibility. And I know some of you may have grown up in dysfunctional families, and even worse, some of you grew up in abusive families. And that is a great tragedy. And that might just be why God adds an incentive for obedience to this particular commandment. Now, in life, we know that there are several factors that enhance longevity. One is just our genetic predisposition. If your family members live long, then there's a good chance that you're going to live long. Also, diet and exercise is one of the indicators, factors for longevity. But there's a third one, and that's what God says here. There is a promise attached to those who will keep the fifth commandment. Paul calls it the first commandment with a promise. And here's the promise. If you'll keep this fifth commandment, if you'll honor your parents, if you'll respect them in both action and attitude, then the promise is you will live long in the land. You have a hard time, some of you, honoring your parents? Well, would a long life help you in honoring your parents? If God says, if you'll go ahead and bite the bullet, and if you'll treat them respectfully, even though they are a handful, even though they are a pain, I'll give you a long life if you'll honor them in this way. Now, there are exceptions to that rule, but generally it's true that those who honor their parents in this way will be given by God a long life on this earth. Those who treat undeserving parents, and there are undeserving parents out there. Those who treat undeserving parents with respect are acting like God acts. When you do for a parent and that parent complains, when you do for a parent and that parent is ungrateful, just remember this passage, Luke chapter 6, verse 35. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. If any of you are cursed with an ungrateful and wicked parent, you still owe them respect. You still owe them kindness. You still owe them support. And you will receive the blessings of heaven in double portion because you're acting just like God acts. Paul even goes on to add two additional bonuses for honoring our parents. You'll have a long life on the earth. That's what God said back in the Ten Commandments. And then Paul adds in Ephesians 6 that things will go well for you if you'll obey your parents. Things will go well for you and you'll have a long life. Doesn't do any good to have a long life if things aren't going well, does it? If I'm going to live long, I want things to go well. And Paul says, if you'll honor your parents, things will go well for you and you will have a long life. And then he adds in Colossians 3 another bonus. There are three bonuses that go with keeping this commandment. A long life, things will go well, and thirdly, it pleases the Lord. I want to live a life that pleases God. And when you treat your parents well, you can know that God is smiling down upon you from heaven. So if you find it difficult to honor your parents, remember these wonderful incentives that God gives us for honoring Him. This commandment goes beyond, and I want to just mention this in passing as we close this morning. This commandment goes beyond just our physical parents. In this church, many of you have those that you regard as your spiritual parents, people who have had a tremendous influence on your life spiritually, people you look up to for their examples, people who have taken you under their wing and offered you counsel and wisdom at times when you've needed it. And we owe the same honor and the same respect to those who are older within our church family. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, the wise man says, "Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life." And what a blessing we have to be part of a church family where are those who have the wisdom and the gray hair that goes with it. We are to honor our elders and show respect to those who've lived a long life and attained wisdom. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, this is what God says. Listen to His words. "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." That's why, young people, it's always appropriate to stand up when you greet an older person. That's why it's always appropriate when you're in a crowded situation to give your seat to one who is older. That's doing exactly what God says. Stand up. Show respect to those who are your elders. Let me just give you three quick suggestions for living out this commandment. And the first suggestion is to start early. And so I'm encouraging all of you parents who still have children in the home, or you grandparents who have influence with grandchildren, teach them respect. Sometimes it's really not the children's fault, because they were never taught to respect authority. So it begins with teaching that, and that's done in two ways. That means that you always insist that your children or your grandchildren treat you with respect. Don't let them get away with being disrespectful to you. Teach them early on to be respectful towards you. Model respect yourself in the way you deal with others. Understand this, that if respect is not instilled within the environment of the home, it will not be seen outside the home. And I know that we have in this church family a number of single parents, and God bless those who are taking on this responsibility of teaching respect and raising their children in a very disrespectful world. And we as God's people, I mean, we're family to the older members. We need to be family to these younger members in our church too and help them in this difficult task that they're engaged in. So we start early and we teach respect. And secondly, we need as God's people to elevate the elderly to the place that God says they should be. We need to treat them with special honor and special dignity. And that is a culture that can be developed and passed on generationally. And I'm grateful for the way that many of our folks here treat our older people. And that's something that we need to continue to model in the days that go by. And then thirdly, look to the example of Jesus himself. As a child, we're told in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51 that Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them following that trip to Jerusalem. He was obedient to his parents. As an adult, Jesus was able to still live out that obedient spirit to his heavenly Father. Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. If we don't learn to honor and obey our earthly parents, it is unlikely that we will ever learn to honor and obey our heavenly Father. If you're here this morning and you need to make some changes in the way you treat your parents, you can't go back and redo the way you raised your children, but you can. If your parents are alive, make changes that you need to make there and treat them with honor and respect. And I want to encourage all of us to do that. If you're here this morning and you've not honored your Heavenly Father by submitting to Him and living obediently to Him, we're going to sing a song. And this is an appropriate time for anyone who would like to become a Christian to do so. Here at Sunset, we just stop everything. Anytime someone says, I'm ready to become a Christian, we stop everything and we keep the water warm and we will baptize you right now. We'll rejoice with you right now. Or if you're here this morning and you need the prayers of God's people, if you need to confess some wrong in your life, if you need to ask for strength in some area, again, we'll stop everything and we'll have a special prayer with you right now. If you need to come, we would gladly help you in any way we can. Won't you do that while we stand and while we sing?